that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this October 24th. Time just marches on, but we are coming to you live this morning. We've got a full crew. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we're going to go out to Michigan. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Zach. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
We thank you guys for coming on this morning, and we welcome you, the remnant, for joining us from sea to shining sea. And our phones have been ringing already this morning, and we thank you for tuning in, and hope that hope you have your Bibles. Hope you have some good coffee this morning, because that's what we're about. And we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll have the phone lines open in just a bit. And John, we'll look to you, brother, to open us up in prayer.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, humbly but boldly, claiming the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. Other promises, like, greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and that you have given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. Father, we thank you for this time that you've set aside in these troubling times to come together as a body, the body of Christ, believers born again of the water and the Spirit, to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we do thank you for all of our many blessings, but your word says that we're to be grateful for all things. So we're grateful for the times that we're living in, for the trials and the tribulations and the testing. We're thankful that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, and that we have been praying that here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? And help us to hear ye, the Lord, and to be obedient when we do. Father, we thank you that the things in the dark are continued to be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops on a daily basis. That the plans of the wicked, vile, evil, Antichrist, Satanists are being exposed. Father, we thank you that you have sent confusion into the camp of the enemy, and they turn upon one another constantly. Even this last debate, the Vice President of the United States turned on the President that was served with him. We know that that's your hand. Father, we just continue to cry out for righteous judgment with regards to all of the things that's going on in the world. We pray that you would hold those to account, those that hate you and hate your people, for the wicked, vile acts that they've committed. Father, we ask that even in this 11th and three-quarter hour that you would send your myriads of angels out, send your ministering angels to prepare those people's hearts and souls and minds that we can reach while there is still yet time. Send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and send your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places, as Satan knows that his time is limited and that they've pulled out all the stops. We continue to lift up our president, Donald J. Who Trump. Father, I ask that you would put myriads of angels around him, ministering angels to minister to him with regards to truth. Father, give him wisdom, understanding, and discernment, the kind of wisdom that Solomon had. Put your guardian angels around him and his family and all those that seek to restore a godly government. Lord, I ask that you would just guide and direct our thoughts this morning. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to what's important for your people. Lift up Jason and his family as they go through a time of loss of his father. And Father, we know that there's things that happen in the world that we don't understand, but someday we will. And I just pray for you to send your great comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with Jason and his family in this time of loss. Father, grant him grace and mercy and compassion and peace, the kind of peace that passes all understanding, that if they remain faithful, that the promise is there that they will see him again. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through Jason as he performs the ceremony for his father. I pray for protection for him as he travels. Lord, put angels above him, blow him to left or right, front and behind him, keep him safe. Father, thank you for this ministry, Scriptures for America. Thank you for the pastor, Peter John Peters, that led it for so many years. Father, we pray that in the last days, just as your word said, that knowledge would increase and that you would continue to reveal to us the secrets that are hidden within the living word, the Holy Bible. That if we continue to seek, your word says that we will continue to find. We will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the patriarchs in the world right now, that you would give them wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to what to do to make provisions for their family and to protect their family. We just praise you and we love you, Lord, and we thank you for allowing us to live in these times. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, guys, I know we've got plenty to cover this morning. The phone lines are ringing. It's flashing lights over here, so let's take a couple calls first thing. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello, good morning. And we'll try this line, too. And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Maybe the third time's a charm. The lights are ringing, or flashing. Good morning. Welcome to coffee. Hello. Well, we'll
sure
try
it's working.
Well, the lights are on. It was working earlier this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you?
Hi. You still not on the air?
We're streaming out. It looks like we are. But we're live on the radio this morning, George.
Well, I'll tell you, we're getting a lot of snow here. Are you getting snow there?
We're expecting some this evening. I'll actually be going down to the church tonight to make sure we're there for, because we are looking at snow and ice overnight.
Okay. Should I get off the line so someone else can call in? I'm having a very difficult time hearing you.
Well, you might. How do you listen in, George? On the shortwave or on the internet?
Telephone.
On the telephone. You may just have to give it a minute and call back. Okay.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, thanks. Thanks, George.
Thank you. God bless you.
And God bless. That's George out in the Northwest. He's up in Washington State. And, yeah, the phone line, I'll check it here in just a minute. It sometimes if it's not going through, you just have to give it a call back. But the numbers look good here that we're streaming out. And, well, Paul, we'll go and ask you how are things? I know earlier on you were mentioning COVID this morning. How are you seeing the reaction out there in your neck of the woods to all this mess?
Well, it's quite much turmoil. You know, as people are just flat paranoid. Zach's got a story he could tell you. I don't know. I don't look at it the way most people do, so I think it's a good time myself. But it is chaotic. The government is totally out of control. They're doing it as a dictator. They have no respect for the individual's rights. And then I would have to say most people, God is betraying them. So, you know, the government has nothing to offer. You know, you've got to have that morality in your heart or you don't have it. So everybody's looking for something to fix something. So having that is great. Yeah,
I think the Holy Spirit revealed something to me in our Wednesday morning Bible study. What is it that can't exist together? If there's fear present, what can't be present? Faith.
Peace. Faith.
So they got all these people in fear over this COVID-19 stuff, which means if they fear these things in the world, then they don't have faith in God. And I think that's what one of their primary goals is to keep the people in fear so that they don't have the faith.
That's absolutely right.
I think fear and faith are kind of the same thing, because it makes people act on what they believe. So except for fear, they see everybody wearing masks, they're going to wear masks because they're scared. And they're going to act on it, and that's giving the enemy the power. So I do my absolute best not to act on fear. And I think it's the absolute opposite of faith.
Yep. Well, whom you fear is whom you serve. So, you know, it's who you fear. You know, if we fear God, we have nothing to worry about. If we fear COVID, then it owns us. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw, but here our county here received notice yesterday that just as we kind of thought was going to happen, and I believe probably before the election, even though it's only, 10 days away or whatever, it's they're starting to lock down again. They sent out a notice throughout the county that the county health department has determined that with the number of COVID cases increasing so rapidly that we have to go back to no more than 10 meeting at one time and only from two households, and if at all possible, employers need to keep their people at home, and so it's just a matter of time before they try to lock us down again.
Yes.
I heard rumors they're going to shut Michigan down Monday or something again, so we'll see.
We got a
Okay, Trump's winning in Michigan now.
Katie and I got an email from the school saying that they were thinking about shutting it down again to where my son and two daughters go to. And that might, they were saying that might happen Friday. So this coming Friday. Everybody was on the email list but me for some reason. So
yeah, we're and it's all over. It's all over. We're seeing it out here. Cheyenne is, they've been talking about that as well, and the Laramie City Council as well, you know, just our little towns here. The same thing. And so when you see that, how can that be that everybody is having to do it? You know, COVID is not exploding across the nation. I mentioned to I think Zach before the program, I saw got an email yesterday, and it showed a news report of, you know, the flu in the United States has dropped 95% this year. How about that? And nobody can put two and two together, it seems like, at least the blind masses can't, that's all this COVID is. It's another strain of the flu, whether it's swine flu or, you know, influenza and flu and this and that. And it's, but here we are, all across the nation, Colorado, Michigan, Wyoming, other states as well. Oh, we got to shut down, what, a week before the election. And it's just another, another scare tactic, another way that the demon rats are doing their best to prevent this election coming up.
Yeah, well
I think we are. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Well, I just going to say that the tables are so turned against them, I believe, that they realize that they can't win and they can't cheat enough to win, because if, you know, if it's a landslide, then there's no way for them to cheat enough to win. And, you know, they're already, I don't know if you saw it, but in Connecticut and a few other places, Antifa and them have sent letters out to people saying that, I hope your insurance covers fire. Because if Trump wins and does not concede the election, then we're targeting, you know, all the people who have supported him, or, you know, fly a flag or put a sign in their yard or whatever. And they've actually, you know, in today's technological era, they've created a website that you can log on to. I was doing that this morning, and it'll show Trump supporters even how much they gave, and pinpoint their location of their homes and stuff. So it's a time to be prepared for sure. You know, what's the old saying? Rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And unfortunately, I believe that's kind of the time that we're in right now.
Amen. It is, to be ready. You know, the Bible tells us, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you that come upon you for your testing. And these are different days than we've had in the past, that's for sure. Different days. You know, a biggie in the local news, as well as been in the national news this past week, are the California-style fires right here in Colorado. You know, And I say it in contrast that we've had, for about a month, about 5 weeks now, we've had a pretty good-sized fire, 176,000 acres, which is record-setting for Wyoming, just about 15 miles west of us. And it's been a mess, burned about 30 homes, burned about 30-odd outbuildings, no fatalities, no serious injuries. But with the cooler weather, and we've had spots of rain and snow, it's pretty much put that out. It has not done that just an hour south of us, all across the Colorado Front Range. Right now they have 3 major fires still burning just these last few days. Had more evacuations in places like Grand Lake and Granby. And these were the places.
Estes Park
was called
Estes
for.
Park.
Yeah. And many people go there to see the elk and to,
you know, for recreation and whatnot, a huge tourist spot. And
Fire
having
grew 100,000 acres in one day.
In one day,
100,000
yeah.
acres.
They said it was growing 6,000 acres an hour, and that's faster than you can move, folks. You can't outrun that. You just can't at all. Even the Cameron Peak that's been burning, it's over 200,000 acres. It's been burning for over 2 months. It's the largest in Colorado history. Again, things we have not seen before. The fire behavior, now, you know, it's not all in the mountains either. It's not all where the beetle kill is. A lot of it is. But the wind and the alignment had a couple. I saw a blurb this morning. They found a couple in a burned-out home there in the outside of Estes Park, Granby area, that, you know, nope, we're going to stay. We're going to stay. And so I just mentioned this because there was a couple things that I thought was interesting. You know, when Pastor, several years before the pastor passed away, we went down there and rode with Jim Lynch. And we did a little video, and he preached a sermon on it called That Last Summer. And because that was the area that, when Pastor first came out to this area, and he worked for Jim Lynch when he was a cowboy, and he rode and rode cattle, and it was up in those mountains, and he talked about how it was different than the sand hills of Nebraska. But the 12 years ago when we went up and rode that area, you know, he commented on how much the area had changed then, how dead the forests were, and you know, and of course it can be attributed for the most part to mismanagement of the forest, but I think also just to the sin that's in the land. You know, we read that all creation groans and cries out at the revealing, and I got to thinking, you know, well, why not Colorado? I can see Colorado burning with these California type fires. Why? Because Colorado is moving and has been doing these California type sins. An openly queer governor with his first husband, and the promotion of abortion. Our brother Bruce called this week. I was talking to him from down in Aurora, and he said the ads that have been on TV have just been horrific, promoting. I guess they've got a Proposition 115, which is trying to scale back abortion and abortion rights and things like that. And it's like the whole media and everything are coming against that. Anyway, John?
Yeah, I also believe that these fires were probably started on purpose in some of these areas, especially
yes,
with regards to, we haven't had any lightning. I mean, we haven't had any precipitation to speak of, other than last Sunday was an answer to prayer. It's good to see your sheriff in your county that basically says that I'm a believer, you know, and there's no doubt in my mind that this is an answer to prayer, you know, and the sheriff's the one that has authority over the government, so that's the one that you need to be concerned about with regards to election time and the way you support your sheriff, making sure that he is a God-fearing man.
Amen.
What were you going to say, Zach? Sorry, cut you off a while back.
Well, we were, somebody had mentioned the notices that people have been getting in the mail about being a supporter. When you were talking about that, I was sitting there thinking, you know, what a great opportunity we as the remnant has. Like, say if somebody, one of our neighbors is targeted, then we get to display love for our neighbor. And as we read in Matthew, the two greatest commands is love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And because the reason, if you go on beyond that, is all of the entire law and the prophets depend on those two commands. And what an opportunity we have to display our love for our neighbors. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, lefties or just wicked people, but I'm talking about people that are, you know, genuinely good people, and we all know them. We have neighbors that we like, and we know they're genuinely good people, and they just might be deceived, but, you know, it's a great opportunity. So no matter what happens, you always got to look at the good. You know, I think we got to learn to detach and look at the entire situation and make the right decision that our God would have us do, no matter what is going on around us. And if they decide they're going to do all kinds of chaos after the election, what kind of power would we be giving God if we displayed that love for our neighbor, you know? So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, amen. I only have one neighbor, and me and him have already talked about displaying our love together to defend whatever we need to. So
that's right. That's right.
And then another thing I was sitting there thinking, like, if we have all this chaos, and, like, you see the left, they want the police defunded, and they want all this, they want complete anarchy. Well, our people aren't going to, I just don't see our people accepting complete anarchy. And I think us as the remnant, it's another great opportunity to train the people with knowledge in order to reset this system back up and to usher in God's kingdom. I don't know. I just look at everything as an opportunity. And, you know, it just depends on how you look at it. I know one thing with the church that I was going to, I'm actually quite thankful for the break that I've had from it, because now I'm getting, I don't know, I'm getting a little bit feisty. And I feel like doing some preaching. So, because, I mean, I just simply don't think people are scared enough yet. And I don't think people are quite to the, maybe they're getting there. They're getting to the point to where they're going to cry out to God. And we need to be there and ready. So we got to do a self-check. Are we ready to inform them properly? And do we have, are our motives right? Are our motives more, are we humble enough to accept the fact that we're not important? What's important? It's the Word of God. And, you know, it's so easy to, you know, like, well, we got to do this because, you know, we don't, I don't want to say it sound, what it boils down to, I believe, is we have to make decisions. And our actions need to be motivated to make sure that everybody around us, like God-fearing people, it's the right decision for them. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does, Zach. You know, it's when we look at the Bible examples, it's not that we have to, you know, okay, we have all this plans and we plan all this out and okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We have to be... make sure that we are usable by God. You know, Gideon.
Yeah.
Gideon comes to mind. You know, what was Gideon doing? He was hiding out, trying to keep from having to pay taxes. You know, beating out the wheat in the wine press. And when God comes to him, you know, mighty warrior. And Gideon says, who, me? I'm the least in my family, and my family's the least in the land. Who am I? I'm nobody. But he realized that these things had come upon him, and you know, his strength was, he realized it was because the people had turned from God. And that's our strength today.
Yep.
Is being humble before God, willfully being humble before God, and knowing that it's God that's done this. It's God that's done this. You know, Pastor preached years ago in a little pamphlet. We're getting ready for a newsletter article, America's Peril. That, guess what, America? It's not the blacks' fault. It's not the it's not even the Democrats' fault. It's not the Jews' fault. It's not the Sudanese's fault. It's not. It's ours. It's ours for turning from him, because he's given us, if you do this, then this is going to happen. And it's our fault for allowing these things to come in. The responsibility is ours. That's what Gideon said. You know, Where's the blessings that God poured out on our forefathers? And they're not here because we haven't obeyed God, because we've turned from God. And when the people hear that, that's the point that I think you're talking about, Zach, that it has to be to that point. The people have to realize that it's not anybody else's fault, it's our fault. John, like you talked about the sheriff. You know, if we've got corrupt government, and we do, it's our fault. It's our responsibility to change that, to get with other like-minded people and say, hey, listen, this sheriff ain't going to be no good for us. We've got to have a Bible-believing, a God-fearing, Jesus-loving sheriff. And you can fill in the blanks for any of that, whether it's mayor, commissioner, all that. And we've just, you know, that's so foreign in our society today that we've got to be able to remind the people to be used by God to, you know, to return to the God of our fathers.
That's why I love the story of King Josiah. If anybody's interested, you go back in the Old Testament. I believe it's in one of the books of Kings, and I think he's in Chronicles as well. But when, you know, like his grandfather and father were horrible kings for Israel, and when the prophets or the workers showed him the law of God, the God of his forefathers, the actual law, and he read them, he understood that everything that was going on was self-inflicted.
Yes.
And he literally turned that entire nation around. So people that don't think, oh, what can I do? Look at what Josiah did. He turned everything around for that entire nation. And, you know, we have to believe that God has given us the ability and the authority, and that's the right that Jesus gave us for dying on the cross and raising again for us to do. We have to believe it. If we don't believe it, then it's not going to happen. And I don't know if that's what's on my heart. Maybe I'm just too feisty. I don't know. But I honestly think, well, I know it's going to happen because we know the end of the book. It's just a matter of time. And when we're willing to take responsibility for our actions.
Amen. Paul, you had something?
Yeah, years ago I did a message in Bronson on where's the joy? And that's what we have to do. Where's our joy? In these times like this, we have to have joy on our face and be a light in the dark. I've been more than willing to do anything, and I've kind of maybe gotten a little complacent lately. Like, I don't know what more you could do. But see, what's happening right now is, you know, there's a sheriff here that stood up, and he took a lot of heat. And these people are out there. You know what I'm saying? But
yes.
The best thing we could do is have a smile on our face and not being worried about this. Because, you know, what's happening? The tares are raising their heads and they're going to get harvested. And angels are going to do it. And the best thing we could do is have our own house in order, our own heart in order, and have that joy on our face. And I think that's really important. And that was a long time ago, and that sermon was for myself. So we can't fix everything in our own ability. But the time is coming where the light will shine. So,
amen.
Amen. I remember that. It was at the perfect timing, too, and it's perfect timing for today. It was interesting with last week's message. I got a handful of people who were just irate at how dare you, you know, support Trump and bring him up and point out that he's biblical and this and that. But overwhelmingly, the majority of the people supported the message. I don't know if you guys are usually a week behind, I think, but basically it was just describing the history of Donald Trump's family Bible and the story behind that. And anyways, I've said from the beginning that Trump is not a saint, but he's a warrior, and God has risen him up for this time, this specific time, to, I think, in response to hearing the cries of his people who are called by his name, who have humbled themselves and prayed and sought God's face and turned from their wicked ways. And his promise is that if we do that, then he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. But the other thing I think, I believe it's the Holy Spirit's put on my heart lately is
with regards to, are we entering into that time of the 70-week prophecy of Daniel, where there would be 3.5 years, 1,260 days, a time times and a half of prosperity and goodness, and then the 3.5 years of tribulation.
Amen.
You know, I personally, you know, I tried to figure all that stuff out. What I have found for the peace for myself, I got to deal with what's on my plate that day, because I can't figure all this stuff out.
I know.
It's real. It's there.
Get a message.
It's real. Yeah. No, it's real. I mean, it's there for a reason and stuff like that. But the way for me to have personal peace is to deal with what's on my plate that day, because I can't, you know. Everybody wants to be a prophet. What kind of winner are we going to? I said, I don't know. We'll talk about it in May. So, you know, I'm just.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I don't want to be a prophet. I don't never claim to be, but new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get simple-minded.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is that simple.
I'm a lot better than I.
You know, it's.
I'm a lot better than I thought I was.
I think Zach hit on it. You know, I really do. That. Jesus told us two greatest commandments, and that's what this nation, that's the foundation of this nation. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. You know, that means you're not going to infringe on your neighbor's life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness, but you don't expect him to infringe on yours either. And that's what the Constitution does, is it just guarantees that the government is not going to do that. But that's the foundation of our country. And when you move away from that foundation, it's just like building a house. You build a house, and when you build it on the foundation, great. It does good and it stands. But, you know, if you build a little lean-to, you build something that's not on the foundation, it doesn't stand. It doesn't stay. And that's where we are as a nation, is that so many have, you know, they haven't been taught that. They don't realize that's the building blocks of this nation. That's what makes this country work, is the people loving God. And, of course, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And loving your neighbor as yourself. And part of that is sharing that joy with them. You know, having that smile on your face. And being able to with patience and endurance and love, you know, to help our neighbors, to teach our neighbors, you know, even if it's just to shine that light, to have that light, that smile on your face, that, you know, blessings that come with you when you're around your neighbor, that is, you know, as simple as it sounds, I think that's a big part of where we have to be. You know, but part of it's letting our neighbor know that, hey, this is what's going on. And when we do that with patience and with love and with compassion, not judging, but just informing, you know, it's letting that truth out. Like Pastor said, you don't have to guard the truth. You don't have to protect the truth. The truth's like a lion. You just let it loose. It'll take care of itself. And it does.
You can't argue with the truth. When any time the truth is spoken, you can't argue with it.
Right. People try to. Oh, they try to, but they can't.
Yeah.
They can't. It's a.
But they're defending their theology is what they're doing, because of right. You know, in my journey through life, you know, I started looking for it. And to me, when the Bible says something, it's the end of the matter. Now, I may not understand all the ramifications of it, but when that Bible says something, it's the end of the matter. But see, most people have their doctrines from their, you know, the church they're raised in, and the all the bull crap that comes with it. Well, the Bible, you don't need no more a book, but the Bible. Everything book you read has to line up with the Bible. Now, you know, Pastor Peters explained it. You know, I knew my Bible when I met Pastor Peters, but I didn't understand it. Because, you know, I didn't particularly like the guy at first. He rubbed me the wrong way because of some stuff that I just want. But I wanted to defend my religion is what I wanted to do, you know. But when you find out that your religion is no good, I was physically sick for 3 days when I found out the church I was raised in was not what it was supposed to be. But you got to be looking. You know, you got to be looking, and you got to have a teacher. Pastor Peter sowed a lot of good seed, and he's right back there with Isaiah, Jeremiah, and he sowed seed, good seed. They're still preaching. He's still preaching, and you know, but it's current right now. You know, and that's the difference.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Remnant phone lines.
One thing.
Go ahead, John.
One thing we need to bring up is Franklin Graham has called for a day of fasting and prayer tomorrow, October 25th. I don't know about you, but from what I've seen with regards to Franklin versus his father, Billy, who we know that the enemy got to, I don't think the enemy's gotten to him yet, and who can disagree with a day of fasting and prayer? In fact, I was going to call for one on election day. I think it'd be important for God's people to take that day in fasting and prayer as well, but we want to promote what Franklin Graham's calling for tomorrow, a day of fasting and prayer.
Amen.
Well, no, you know, nobody's perfect in this world, and if he called for it, that isn't really the issue, is whether your heart is right. So, yeah, you definitely should join in on that, because we don't really know who's out there, who's on our side, who's just mistaken. I was mistaken at one time, big time. So everybody ain't in the same playing field.
Amen. It's more the act than it is the who makes the call. I mean, it's biblical, so.
That's right.
Well, that's what's going on right now. The Spirit of God is moving, and who's involved in what and where it's going to end up, like a tornado, who comes through unscathed, that's the answer. But the terrors are definitely sticking their head up, and, you know, we'll look what the Pope said just recently. It's okay to be queer.
Yeah,
you know. That's right. And, you know, along those lines, Paul, it's interesting to see who is calling him out, like Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham said it's unbiblical for the Pope to do that. It's unbiblical. And there's been a couple other pastors that have come out, and it's like we talked about the sheriffs, like you did, Paul. You know, there, God has his people out there. And when these things come up, you know, in the past, it's like, well, you know, the Pope's the Pope. I guess he's got the word from God. And you know, that's how it's been in the past. And now if people are, other than just a few people, more people are saying, no, that's unbiblical. They're calling it what it is. And that's a good thing.
He's showing his colors. So
he is.
I seen him a long time ago, but now he's getting really obvious.
Right, right. Yep, so obvious for others. Other people are waking up to it. They are. They're waking up, and that's a good thing. That is. And I think that's part of those seeds that have been planted over the years. And the prayers that have been prayed. You know, we pray the pistol prayer. Lord, let that sorcery cease. Let the bales be broken and bound. All the idols cast down. And that Pope is an idol. He is a false idol. He is a false small g god. And that the word itself, if people would go to it, you know, that warns against time and time again. And more people are seeing that. They are. And so, Remnant, like John said, we're in agreement, at least with this, with Franklin Graham, and we're saying, let's fast and pray tomorrow, Sunday. We'll talk a little bit about it, I'm sure, from, you know, tomorrow morning from the church. But and you know, a fast is not just to do without food, but it's what that does for you, you know, and the purpose is, you know, should be to, you know, to take our things off our daily habit, to take our eyes off our daily habits, off the things of the world that we're always, you know, we're all in I don't want to say a rut, but a schedule. You know, we get up, we have our coffee, we have our breakfast, we do this, we have lunch, we have dinner. To take the focus off of that and focus our thoughts on God, on attempting to, you know, what is it, Lord? What is it that you want me to do? Here I am. Here I am, Lord.
You know, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. That's what we do. We want to gain a deeper fellowship with God. We want to, you know, cry out to Him. And when we willfully do without fasting, that's what that's called. And you combine that with prayer. It's a powerful combination. You know, if you diet, if you're trying, say, to lose weight, and you diet and you get on a real good diet and you're watching what you eat and stuff, you'll lose some weight. You'll get healthier. On the other hand, if you start exercising, maybe if you start walking or jumping on a little jumping trampoline or biking or whatever it is, you know, that's good. That's better. But when you combine those two, you can really see some good results. When you're eating right and you're exercising, you know, things really fall in place. And it's like that with prayer and biblical fasting. It's a powerful combination. You know, it is.
Yeah, the Bible says when you fast, not if you fast.
Right.
It says when you fast, which means it's something that we are to do as Christians, as the true followers of Jesus Christ.
That's right. And you know, and we do. We read about fasting all through the Bible, and you know, it's not so that we can tell people that we've done it or we can show people that we've done it. You know, the Bible talks about that. Hey, anoint your head with oil, you know, don't have that sour look on your face. I think that applies how you mentioned that, Paul, to. You know, where's the joy? We are to have joy in this. This is the will of God, that we pray and fast. It is. He tells us to do it. And so when we do it, we should be joyful in it. You know, Matthew 6 talks about that. 16 says, when you fast, don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. And for they neglect their appearance so that they'll be noticed by men. And Jesus says, I tell you, they have their reward in full right there when they're noticed by men. And that's not how we're to be. You know, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that's what we do. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 ties right in. When God's people will do this and you know, humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and pray and fast and seek God. You mentioned that, Paul. You know, you got to be looking. You got to be seeking. When God's people do this, He hears. It gets His attention. It does. It does. It gets,
well, you know, John, you talk about those people that are vehement against it. You see, they kind of want to maintain Babylon because it's been really good to them and they're comfortable with it. But it's being taken away from them. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, no shortage of things to pray for or against, that's for sure. God makes sure of that. But the reality is, they make their plans, and He sits in the heavens, and He laughs, and He scoffs at them. And, you know, our pastor told us, what is it that you need to overcome a Red Sea predicament? And that's a Red Sea predicament. God will put us at a place where there's no one else that can take credit for the deliverance of His people. It'll only be Him, and none of us know how that's going to play out, but we know that we can see that the birth pangs grow closer and closer and stronger, and these fires are part of those birth pangs.
Yes.
But those birth pangs are to warn those. You know, God says that He's not slow as the world counts slowness, but He's patient, not wanting for any of His to come to destruction, but all of those that are His to come to repentance. And these are his loving warnings for his people to repent and to turn back to him. So each one of us has a responsibility to share the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose here, is to fulfill the Great Commission. And, you know, the Bible says if we're embarrassed of him, then he'll be embarrassed of us. And meaning Jesus Christ and God. And we just need to speak boldly, as we ought to speak, as ambassadors in chains. And like you said, Paul, in today's world, one day at a time is about all you can take.
You know, it's kind of a relief. You don't have to figure all this stuff out.
Yeah.
It was for me anyway.
Oh, it is. Isn't that part of that peace that we have? I think that's part of that joy that we have. We know that, you know, like when you're a child. We've all had children. Zach's still got little children. You know, they don't worry about if the electricity bill's going to get paid. They don't worry about if mom's going to remember to go buy groceries and have dinner on the table. They know. See, that thought doesn't even cross their mind. And for the most part, what are they? They're happy. You know, they're out running around and enjoying their childhood. You know, now it's not that they have free rein, right? They have chores, they have school, they have things they have to do as well. But they know that, you know, they don't worry about the big things. They know they're taken care of. And about the furthest they have to worry about is, yeah, what's, you know, is there chocolate for chocolate milk today or whatever it may be? And that's about it. And that's really how we should be with our Heavenly Father. We should be His children. We come to Him as children, knowing He's taking care of it all. What has He not done for us? When has He ever failed us? Never. Ever, ever. When has He ever lied? Never. And so it's taken care of. If we've done what we're supposed to do, He's done His part. So what are we supposed to do? Well, repent of sin, turn away from the worldly ways, the flesh, and repent and be baptized, and then dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And then it's not that you don't have the problems of the world. It's not that you don't have those day-to-day deals, the struggles to deal with, but you know it's taken care of. You know it's taken care of. And that's there is joy there. There is a peace there that surpasses understanding.
If you watch the presidential debate, you could see that there was a point where God did send confusion into the camp of the enemy, and Joe Biden became flustered, became disorganized, and it can be seen in his speech and in his actions. And now the other thing you got to notice is the fact that that old boy's eyes are black.
Yes.
And what does the Bible say? That the windows, the eyes are the window to the soul. And there's no doubt that Satan is using him. And all of the demon rats, I think it's kind of interesting that you start to see that phrase being used an awful lot these days. People have picked up on the fact that they aren't Democrats anymore. They're demon rats. And even the lifelong Democrats have decided that, wait a minute, this isn't the Democrat Party that I grew up with. And they know it. They pulled the trigger a little early. They revealed all of their they laid their hand down a little early, and the good news is that God has the Trump card. That's the way I look at it.
Amen. And John, I still look at it as it's God giving, and you've said it all along, it's God giving His people a reprieve, an opportunity. You know, we've never said Trump's the savior. Trump's not. He's not. He even said it. You know, he's not. And he's not the
You know, he's there for to do his job, but it is. It's giving God's people an opportunity to return to him. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. We thank you, the remnant, for tuning in. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We'll start, we'll get things fired up, 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And you West Coasters, it's a little early, 7:30 for you. But we'll get fired up. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth from Pastor Peters. Looking forward to that. They have been just, boy, they have been applicable for today. Like never before. And John, looking forward to your live message. And we'll have communion. We'll have some music. And folks, it gives you an opportunity to step away from the world, to join with like-minded believers, to obey the word where it says to not forsake the assembly, as is the habit of some. Now, tomorrow there'll be some that'll, they'll have their snowmobiles out. We got snow coming in, and they'll be wanting to go hunting and everything else. There'll be some doing that because that's the habit of some, but we know the habit of the remnant is to join together with like-minded believers, and so we do. We invite you to do that. So again, men, thanks, and God bless, and we'll see you in church tomorrow.
About what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness is drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus, pray in the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus. Cannot stand when we come walking through in the name.